ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू द मॉर्निंग भागवतम क्लास इन इस्कॉन वृंदावन एवरीवन, एंड अ स्पेशल वेलकम टू मदर मालती। दिस मॉर्निंग I've been asked to speak about the life of Madhavendra Puri because we are observing the anniversary of his disappearance from this world today. So instead of taking a regular Bhagavatam verse, we are just going to try to introduce and glorify and speak about Madhvacharya's life and miraculous pastimes. Madhvacharya, there are several introductions to Madhvacharya. The first introduction would be that we are, so many people are talking. The first introduction would be that we belong to a sampradaya that is called Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So that second word, Madhva, stands for Madhvacharya. In the present time meaning from now to 1,000 years ago, Vedically is not very long, 1,000 years. There has been a revival of all the Vaishnava Sampradayas. There are four Vaishnava Sampradayas, and they are, anybody can name them? Raise your hand. Four Vaishnava Sampradaya. Everybody can name them. Nobody wants to raise their hand, want to get the hand out of the warm blanket. Yes. Four Vaishnava Sampradayas. Yeah, they were their original names. Shri Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Kumar Sampradaya, and Brahma. So, originally, Krishna gave the knowledge to four of these personalities. One of them is Lord Brahma himself, and Devi Lakshmi Shri, that's where Shri Sampradaya comes from, and that would be, we would be covering that tomorrow, although it will be in the Hindi class, to do with Ramanuja. The third one is Kumar Sampradaya, that comes under the four Kumaras, and the fourth one is Rudra Sampradaya, to do with Lord Shiva. So out of all these four Sampradaya, in the last 1,000 years, there has been a personality that is born in one of these Sampradaya to completely revive, rejuvenate, and enliven the existence of the whole sampradaya. So there are four special personalities that are related with the four different sampradayas to revive them in what we call the modern time. So those four personalities are, of course, Madhvacharya, for us, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya followers. And in the Kumar Sampradaya, we had another personality called, somebody named, some Mataji named, Nimbarkacharya, came in the Kumar Sampradaya. And then in Rudra Sampradaya, the name is Vishnu Swami. And in the Sri Sampradaya, the name is Ramanuja. So, a little bit of introduction of where Madhvacharya stands, and then Madhvacharya's introduction himself. If this year, later on Vijayadashmi, Dashera, Ram Vijay, so many different ways of calling that day, the day Lord Ram killed Ravan, would be the appearance day of Madhvacharya. Today is his disappearance day. So this year on Vijayadashmi, Madhvacharya would be 777 years old, or it would be the 777th birth anniversary of, or appearance anniversary of Madhvacharya. 777. Special number. So, Ramanujacharya appeared, Madhvacharya appeared in the year 1238. And he performed his pastimes, his leelas, mainly preaching, until he was just about 80 years of age, 79 to be exact. And on this day, today, he left his body while delivering a lecture to his disciples in Ananteshwara Mandir, in front of a whole hall assembly full of devotees, he departed this world. So today is the anniversary of that. About, what is that? The anniversary. Two less than 700 years that he left this planet. Madhvacharya was born in the area called Prajakshetra right now. Prajakshetra. It's in Karnataka state, southwest of Karnataka, where Udupi is. Prajakshetra is a little bit south of Udupi. And he appeared, like Prajakshetra, there is a village name also, but it's now more known as Prajakshetra, and it's a place of worship, it's a holy dham. Many of these personalities, they take birth in a holy dham, and sometimes it becomes a holy dham just because the personality has taken birth there. So Prajakshetra has become a holy dham because Madhvacharya was born there. Before his birth, while his parents had been trying for many years to be blessed with a child, were out shopping in the little village mall, and one devotee who had no legs jumped up and climbed all the way up to the flag on top of the local temple, miraculously. And from there he announced, "The Lord of Wind, Vayu, is going to be taking his third incarnation in this very village." So, one of you is going to be a very fortunate couple to have Lord Vayu appear in your household. And both the parents heard the prophecy and went home talking. "Yeah, it would be nice if it's our household, isn't it?" Both of them kind of agreed to the idea that, yeah, it wouldn't be such a bad idea. So, Vayu or destiny or the Supreme Personality of Godhead who plans it all was merciful on this wonderful couple, and they were very poor Brahmins. Brahmins not only by birth but also by occupation and everything else. His father, actually there are two names given for his father, not because he had to, but there is one authoritative book that is a biography of Madhvacharya, and in that book the name is not mentioned. So if you go to Prajakshetra, they will give you one name, and if you go to Udupi, they'll give you another name, kind of thing. But one name is Narayan, Narayan Bhatta, and the other name given is Madhva Deha Bhatta. So either one, both names end with Bhatta. And the father and the mother's name is also not so sure, but it is known to be Vedavati. So both the parents, they named Madhvacharya by birth to be Vasudev. His birth name was Vasudev. Right from the early childhood, he was very, very miraculous. His father was a teacher also. During the day, he would teach at the elementary school that he had at his own home. He had his own school, elementary school, where he taught little children. And then after school or weekends, he would also go out and perform some pujas, fire sacrifices, ceremonies, and so on for people in their houses. But altogether, he still was very poor. So after Madhvacharya needed more than just his mother's milk, they had a problem of how we're going to feed this child. But the child needed to be fed, so his father went and took a loan, 8 rupees, and bought a cow who had just calved. So brought the cow and the calf home, and then there was plenty of milk for the little baby and everybody else, and maybe some neighbors also, because how much milk can you consume in one household? So that was the system that you have, you share, because 800 years ago there wasn't a fridge or a freezer. So whatever milk is there, you just share. But now his father had no means to pay that loan off. So the lender, the local jamindar, was asking, okay, pay me. Yes, I will pay you when I get some big donation. You know, I am only hardly making ends meet, this, that, the regular, usual thing. But one day, this lender, he became very upset or determined or stubborn that I must get paid. I must get my loan repaid. So what could he do to a Brahmin who was holding a prestigious Brahminical position in the society? You cannot do very much to a respectable person who's respected in that sense. So he acquired peaceful means. He said, I'm going to come to your home and I'm going to stay there until you pay me. Very peacefully stay there. I will not make any noise. I will not do any harm. I will very peacefully stay in your home until you pay me. But then there was another catch. I will come and stay at your home and not eat anything. Bhook hartal, hunger strike. So what does that mean? That means that you have a guest in your home who is not going to eat. And what does that mean? You're not going to eat either, because the guest hasn't eaten. That is the Vedic system. You have a guest, you first feed the guest. So the hunger strike was not only for the lender, the hunger strike became for the whole family. So the mother and the father were somehow coping up, but the little child who had just learned to speak and express his desire to eat because he's hungry could not hold on. So constantly asking his mother, mother, please feed me, I'm very hungry. All the mice are having a wrestling match. Please feed me. And the mother would very nicely, when she couldn't do anything, that how am I going to tell, how am I going to explain to this very little child what is the problem? But when she had no other way, she ended up telling him the truth. That look, here is this lender and we owe him money, and he wants to get paid, and your father doesn't have money to pay him, and he's not eating, so that means we cannot eat either. So Madhvacharya, who was playing the pastime of being a very little child, although was very mature in his head, understood the whole thing. He said, is that all? I can solve that problem. He went and talked to the lender. Look, Why don't you take the cow? He said, no, I did not lend your father the cow. I lent him money. I want money back. I said, okay. How about we pay you another day? He goes, no, I want to get paid now. Until I get paid, I'm not leaving. I said, okay. You want to get paid now? Then you come with me. I will pay you. And the lender is looking at this very young child. I say, you're going to pay me? I say, yes. And he grabs his hand and pulls him. Come. Although a child can never pull you, but when a child starts pulling you, you get up even if you don't want to. Because child is that way. They're very cute and they want to do something. They want you to do something. They will make you do it. So he grabbed hold of the lender gentleman and walked him a few trees over where there was a tamarind tree. Tamarind tree. And the tamarind had fallen down, and the little children would go pick up the tamarind from there, eat the tamarind and spit out the little pit. So the little pits were seeds of tamarind were scattered around under the tree from children eating the tamarind and throwing out the spit. So he gathered a few of them. He said, what, you gave my father 8? Here. He gathers 12 of them. He said, here, take it. It was a very cute gesture, but the lender was not going to buy it. He said, I gave money. I cannot accept the tamarind seeds for money. He said, you gave money and you will not accept tamarind seeds? Would you accept gold? He said, yes, I will accept gold. So open up your hand. And those 12 little seeds of tamarind turned into gold in this lender's hand. By the potency of Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya is none other than Vayu, Lord Vayu, and one incarnation of Lord Vayu is Hanuman, another incarnation of Lord Vayu is Bhimasena, and Madhvacharya was coming straight in line with his predecessors. So one day when Madhvacharya grew a little older, or I should say Vasudev, that was his name at that time, grew a little older, he noticed that there is a demon that is lurking around his house and has made a house in the in a little small hill. That demon was in the form of a cobra snake. And Madhvacharya knew that my parents are Brahmins, the whole area here is all full of very religiously minded, very nice people. So if I kill him, he had the power to kill him. He said, if I kill him, everybody will be on my case. You kill the snake? How dare you? And maybe they will even find out my powers. So Vasudev won't do anything about the snake. But one day he went to play. You know, as with children, the younger they are, the closer to home they play around. श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की, श्री श्री राधाश्याम सुंदर की, श्री श्री गौर निताय की, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। सो एज द लिटिल बॉय वासुदेव वॉज ग्रोइंग ही वुड गो फार्दर एंड फार्दर फ्रॉम होम टू प्ले, दैट्स वॉट चिल्ड्रन डू, बट ऑफ कोर्स द पेरेंट्स डोंट लाइक दैट, स्पेशली द मदर्स, एंड द मदर्स स्पेशली डोंट लाइक इट व्हेन दे हैव डिनर रेडी। So one night, his mother made dinner and now she's looking for Vasudev to feed him. And he's nowhere in the house, he's nowhere around the house. Where he is, she cannot go that far. So she tells all the children in the area, go find Vasudev, bring him here. And after a while, nothing happens. She gets mad and she, you know, the madness starts to come through. Her anger starts to come through to the children. And they go find Vasudev or Madhvacharya and go tell him, look, your mother is mad. She has dinner ready and you're not at home. You are in big trouble. Today, you go home right away and be ready for some kind of chastising. She is going to chastise you. So go as quickly as you can. And Madhvacharya or Vasudev was about 1 kilometer away from home. About 1 kilometer away. And soon as he heard that, he just jumped. Jumped 1 kilometer to come home. And he landed on that little mound where the cobra was living. And the cobra had just come out to get to his mother. And from 1 kilometer away, he jumps right on the head of that cobra, kills him instantly, and tells his mother, I am here, ready for dinner. So, those of you who go, who have been to Prajakshetra, probably heard these pastimes, or if you haven't gone yet, when you go, you will hear these similar pastimes. How many devotees here have been to Prajakshetra? 1, 2, 3, 4. Not very much. Okay. So, try to catch a South Indian tour if and when you can, if you so desire, and you can go hear these pastimes in the right place where they took place. Any questions from what we have told so far? Okay, then we'll go further. As Vasudev was growing, his father started to teach him at his own school only. And his father was used to teaching in elementary school. You don't just teach something once, you have to teach it several times so the children really understand it and they're ready for exam and all that. But every time he started to teach the same lesson or same smallest little part of something he had taught any time before, Vasudev will stop him. Father, why you keep teaching the same thing? You taught this the other day. And sometimes, while giving a lecture, delivering his lecture, his father would forget something. Let's say it happens to the best of us. You got to mention 8 names of something and only 7 come to your mind. So you say that, etc., and go on. But Vasudev won't let his dad do that. No, no, no. The 8th name is that one, dad. So his father had the understanding, this is a very, very bright child. So in time he did Upnayana Sanskar for his son. Upnayana Sanskar. How many devotees here have gone through an Upnayana Sanskar? None. Upnayana Sanskar at the end is similar to our initiation. Our initiation ceremony at the end, you are supposed to take your cloth and beg from everybody and collect Guru Dakshina and take that to your Guru and so on. So Upnayana Sanskar is just like that. So he did the same thing, he collected the Dakshina. But then he said, I need a Guru to give this. And not finding any suitable answer, next morning he took that Dakshina and he left home. He said, I'm going to go find a Guru. I have to find a Guru. So he goes and finds the best Guru of the time, whose name was Achyuta Preksha. And the Guru had a very high level Sanskrit school that he ran, and you had to be very good scholarly to be able to enter his Sanskrit school. So he was tested by Achyuta Preksha and granted the admission into the school of Achyuta Preksha. And now he is living at the ashram. And there are so many other children of his age, some older, some younger, around the same age group. And at different times, children would go out and play in the yard, in the field. Sometimes they would race, sometimes they would swim, sometimes they would wrestle, sometimes they would do kabaddi. I don't know how to say kabaddi in English. I guess say kabaddi only. And so many other games. Every game he would play with anyone, he was the winner. Of course, he is Hanuman. And every batch of the children playing out there, he must play. There's different batches studying and different batches playing. But he is in every play game and never in the study group. So one day, Achyuta Preksha found out that this child is always playing. Although I admitted him because he was good, but still, I cannot allow him to always play. So he went to chastise him. When do you ever get a chance to practice your lesson? Meaning he was always going to the class, but you have to do after class studies, and he would never do an after class study. So I don't need it. He said, oh yeah? You don't need it? Okay, I will test you tomorrow. So the next day, Achyuta Preksha makes Vasudev stand in front of the class It says, in the whole year since you've come here, we have been discussing one sukta after the other every day. The children have not even been asked to memorize them yet. And he asked them, the teacher asks Vasudev, do you remember them all? Just to challenge him. He said, yes, no problem. And he recites the whole thing, every sukta, every day in difficult Sanskrit, every word without making any mistake. And Achyuta Preksha said, you are right. You don't need to study. You know practically everything. Meaning, Achyuta Preksha was thinking that if I was put on the spot to recite everything here, I may have made a mistake. This little boy did not make a mistake. Every T is crossed. Every I is dotted. It's just perfect. So then, he said, well, there is no way I can chastise him for playing all the time. He can play all he wants. How am I going to chastise him? So, as he grew in the same ashram, they started learning the Vedas and they started to learn the Vedanta Sutras. But everything was under the Shankaracharya philosophy, monistic, Mayavad. They were teaching Mayavad, 100% Mayavad. And there was no school in his area or in India that taught the Dvaitvad. Everybody was learning Advaita. Everybody knows the difference between Advaita and Dvaita, or am I just going on with all the terminology? How many devotees know the difference between Advaita and Dvaita? How many do not know? Okay. Honesty is coming forward. I don't have time to completely explain Dvaita and Advaita, but in a nutshell, just a brief explanation. It's an easy explanation. And if you hear it attentively, it is not easy to forget. Generally speaking, we say, Namaste Sarasati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. That is the second mantra of Srila Prabhupada's pranam. So Srila Prabhupada is given the credit of defeating the Nirvishesh and Shunyavadi. So this word Nirvishesh, if you break it, it's two words. One is Vishesh. Vishesh is something special. Nirvishesh makes it negative, nothing special. So what that stands for is there is me or there is us, the Jivatmas, and then there is Krishna. Because we are Dvaitvadi, we come from Dvaita school, we understand that Krishna is special and we are just the Badjivas. We are just the Jivas, Jivatmas. We are nothing special. So Nirvishesh says, Krishna is not special because he has the same three qualities of Sat, Chit, Anand, and we have the same three qualities. We are also Sat, Chit, and Anand. What is so special about God? We are part and parcel of God, so we are just as good. It's like Bundi. Everybody knows here what is Bundi and Bundi ka laddu. Everybody understands Bundi and Bundi laddu. The yellow laddu that has small little balls all put together and made into a laddu is called Bundi laddu. Yellow, usually always yellow, made of besan. So the strategy or their philosophy is that qualitatively we are same as Krishna, but quantitatively we are smaller. So I am smaller than Krishna, you are smaller also, and you and you and you. But if we join all of us in this hall together, then we are not that small. It's like taking 1,000 pieces of bundi and putting it together and making it into a laddu shape. Does anybody call it bundi now? After the laddu is being made out of bundi, does anybody call it bundi? No, it's called a laddu. So we are just like bundis, and Krishna is just like a laddu, bundi laddu. Nothing special. That is Advaita. Advaita meaning not so much difference between God and Jiva, because Jiva has the same qualities as God. That is Advaita. Nirakar and so many other things, they all fall into Mayavad. There's so many different kinds of Mayavads. But in order to understand, in a nutshell, quick understanding is, they do not think, the Mayavadis do not think that God is anything so special, extraordinary, like we think. That we are servants, Krishna is God. We are servants. Although we are part and parcel of Him, although we have the same qualities as Him, but we still are servants and He is the Master. So, Nirvishesh or Advait or Nirakar, in a nutshell, they are about the same. So, Dvaita is the philosophy that is first given by Shripad Madhvacharya. Dvaita means two. If has anybody seen a picture of Madhvacharya? How do you tell this is Madhvacharya? There are so many sadhus, and they all look about the same. When somebody draws a picture, there is no real picture from 800 years ago. So somebody is drawing. All the sadhus, they look about the same. But you can tell that this is a picture of Madhvacharya when you see him holding these two fingers like this. When you see a sadhu in his picture holding two fingers like that, we understand that this is Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya made the first distinction. There is God and then there is me. There is Paramatma and there is Jivatma. Two different things. Completely two different. For one thing, we have been separated from the whole, and we would always be separated. There will not be a day that we will go back and merge into the whole forever and lose our identity. That will not happen. We will always have our own identity. No matter where we go, what we merge into the Brahma Jyoti, we merge into Krishna's body, we merge into anything, we are not going to lose our individuality. Because if we lost our individuality, then there is basically no difference between us and material matter. So, Dvaita is the first introduction to the black, dark world that Shankaracharya had created with his Advaita philosophy. Shankaracharya created the black, dark world was also Krishna's arrangement. According to Krishna's arrangement, 5,000 years ago, Kali Yuga appears. And according to Krishna's arrangement, Kali Yuga has effect on the Brahmanas, makes the Brahmanas corrupt, lowly, and as time goes, they become more and more greedy and dependent on animal sacrifice. You have any problem? We can solve that. We will offer an animal to God in your honor. Your problem will be solved. They had a solution to every problem. Let's get together and kill an animal and eat, and that would solve our problems. And when that went too much over the top, Krishna said, okay, I'm going to incarnate and put a stop to this madness. But Krishna incarnates in the form of Buddha. And he tells his disciples and so on, his biggest message was non-violence. And because the violence, everybody is basing this violence on the Vedas, let's reject the Vedas. Reject the Vedas. Vedas do not exist. God, there is no God. No God, God doesn't exist. No Vedas, no scriptures, no nothing. Buddham Sharanam Gacchami. Everybody become a brahmachari. What happens if everybody become a brahmachari? Every man, every woman become a brahmachari? That's it. We are finished. Soon as we die, there is nobody left behind because we are all brahmacharis. So, that was a big problem. That the world, as Lord Brahma had, so you hear from the Bhagavatam, first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto, how Lord Brahma has been trying to propagate this planet. Lord Buddha devised a plan to very quickly finish everything. So then, as Lord Buddha captures all the atheists, all the worst of the society, Lord Buddha captures them. And he tells them, yeah, atheist is good. But what kind of atheist do they become? They put Buddha's statue on the altar and offer all the agarbatti and everything to him. So what are they really doing? They're worshipping Lord Vishnu. But they have a mental satisfaction of knowing, oh, we're atheist. We don't believe in God. Only Buddha. Oh, Buddha is Vishnu. So, What are you going to do? So this is called a daylight robbery of hundreds and thousands of people. Krishna robbed them in daylight, and they are still doing the same thing. You ask them, you believe in God? No God. But what do? I have a Buddha statue. God doesn't come in very many better forms than Vishnu. That's who you are worshipping. But they're very happy to do that. So, after Buddha, in order to re-establish the Vedas, Krishna's arrangement, by Krishna's arrangement, Lord Shiva comes in the form of Shankaracharya. And he spreads this, he re-establishes the Vedas, the Upanishads, everything. But he re-establishes them in a darkness, in Andhkar. With what? Nirakar. He takes everything and gives a Nirakar purport to it. God has no form. You are God, I am God, everybody is God. And what is so special about God? We are all God anyway. You can become God, I can make you God tomorrow. Or in a few years, just. There are so many different kinds of that Srila Prabhupada calls nonsense, demoniac. So many rascal, so many different words Srila Prabhupada uses for them. I'm only quoting. That are around, and they are established by either Shankaracharya or so many other propounders of all kinds of philosophies from here and there and everywhere. So Madhvacharya appears to take that on. Once the whole world is covered with this darkness, the Andhkar of Advaita, then Krishna says, okay, now I'm going to establish Dvaita. And for that, he chooses Hanuman. So Hanuman will go and he will establish Dvaita. Because Hanuman is in the Navada Bhakti, in Dasyam, very highly placed devotee. So he is specially chosen to do this very special work. And Madhvacharya, when he went out at times to give public lectures, the Advaitavadis, they were so upset and so mad at him for speaking the Dvaita philosophy that they would come out in mobs and to try to physically attack Madhvacharya. Let's kill him right now. What he is speaking, it has no base. It's nothing. He's just blabbering his mouth off. Means nothing. Let's kill him right now before it makes any problem. Even the disciples of Madhvacharya, when they see thousands of people coming towards us with a very angry mood to take us on, they would run away. No. Even the fighter, 1,000 people coming to attack you, is not going to stand there and say, okay, yeah, let's fight. No, you can't fight with 1,000 people. So they would run away, leave their guru unprotected and run away. But Madhvacharya did not need any protection. He was Hanuman. 1,000 people coming towards him was like 1,000 ants coming towards one of us. Do we get really afraid when 1,000 ants are coming towards us? He would take them on. In the beginning, when he started preaching, that's what he did. He would personally take them on and defeat a mob of thousands of people. They would give up and go home. Say, we cannot touch him. We cannot put a little scar or a scratch on his body. He is so amazing. He would just defeat them all. He's Hanuman. But later in his maturity, he was still attacked. But then he started not personally taking them on, but he started empowering other things, using other means, such as one time he was... Does the class have to end at 9 or we can go a couple of minutes? Huh? We can go a couple of minutes or it has to end at 9? Dharmatma? Yes to what? Okay. So one time, Madhvacharya was going with his disciples and dacoits attacked. There's hundreds of dacoits. They had all the swords and all the arms, and they wanted to kill the disciples of Madhvacharya and so on and take everything from them. So what Madhvacharya did is took his chadar, rolled it up into a ball, because he could see the greed on everybody's face. All these dacoits, they're all greedy. He rolled up his chadar in a little ball and threw it and made that chadar shine like a ball of gold. So every one of the dacoits, there's one ball of gold and there is 100 dacoits. Now they're fighting amongst each other to get to that ball of gold instead of attacking the poor sadhus. The sadhus are protected and they are running behind this chadar which looks like gold. There is no gold in it. Another time, he had a disciple called Upendra Tirtha. Upendra Tirtha, like, you know, so many men, so many different kinds of natures, Kshatriya nature and so on. This Upendra was absolutely Brahminical, would not even think of killing an ant all his life. And when the dacoits attacked the second time, Madhvacharya empowered Upendra to take the sword and fight 100 of them alone and defeat them all because of his empowerment. And one day when he was taking his morning bath in the ocean close to Udupi, he saw that there was a boat coming. And all of a sudden a storm came and the boat hit the dust bank, the mud bank, something, and got stuck in it. And all the boatwalas, they looked out and they couldn't see anything, but they see one sadhu. So they're raising their hands and trying to, please rescue us, do something. And Madhvacharya waved his chadar. The storm went away and the boat came ashore. The boat was full of gold, ornaments, precious metals, precious stones that a businessman was taking for trading. So say, you have saved our life, Sadhuji Maharaj. Could we please give you something? Take anything from our boat. So Madhvacharya said, what's in your boat? And I gave the whole list. I said, none of these have any meaning to me. I am a sadhu, I am a sannyasi, I don't need any of these things. Where are you coming from? I said, we're coming from Dwarka. Oh, you're coming from Dwarka. I have heard that in Dwarka there is something called Gopi Chandan. I want to use that. So, next time maybe you can bring me some Gopi Chandan. He said, no. We have Gopi Chandan now. They were not taking the Gopi Chandan for trade. They had the Gopi Chandan on the boat to balance the boat. They just had it for weight. So, the boat will be balanced. I say, you want Gopi Chandan? We'll give you Gopi Chandan right now. So big pieces of Gopi Chandan they brought, and Madhvacharya accepted one. And he carried the whole big piece of Gopi Chandan, unlimited strength. His strength had no bounds. He's Hanuman. So he carried that whole big piece on his shoulder, took it to the temple, and when he tried to break it, out comes a Krishna Murti, a big beautiful Murti of Krishna called Udupi Krishna. And they bade Udupi Krishna and tried to install him. And after he was bade, 30 people tried to lift the Murti, it would not budge. So they told Madhvacharya, you brought this Murti here with all the lump of Gopi Chandan and everything, and we can't even move the Murti alone. I said, don't worry about it. He went and with one hand he picked up the Murti and brought over to install. And it is said that the Murti did not want to be lifted or touched by anybody else other than a pure devotee. So Madhvacharya made a system of, even after his passing, even today, there are only two people who are allowed to touch that Murti. The Mathadhish, the head of the mat, and the second one, successor. So those two who are holding that position are the only ones who are actually, everybody serves the deity. But touching the deity itself, only two people can do that. I can tell you a whole lot more about it. I didn't even finish half of the material, but that's all the time we have. And I want to thank you for all your attention. Shripad Madhvacharya ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram,